Ornby. And as I was leaving, we'd been talking about it already, there was a plaque on his wall. I said, can I take a picture of that plaque? It was a Bible verse, and the Bible verse says something like, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that verse started ringing in my ears. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's in Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. So the Lord is giving a message along those lines. Tell a message, oh, taste and see. Now, that word taste means more, because that word taste also is translated perceiveth, perceive. And the word perceive in the Hebrew means an awareness, an assessment, a judgment that you will make after you have seen, after you have, you know, we have senses, you know, your eyes see, your ears hear, and you hear what other people say. And then the spirit, of course, is one of our senses that God has given us. So we use those in making assessments. Gentlemen, back when you saw your wife for the first time, I don't know if you feel madly in love or you did the double take, whatever, but there was something you was looking at, you was going to make an assessment. You were going to make, and the more you learn, and that's what it's all about. Oh, taste and see. Let's read that whole verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34, verse 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And another verse of scripture that helps us understand the meaning of the word would be in Psalms, in Proverbs 31, verse 10 and 11. This time the Hebrew word is actually translated, perceive it. So we know we trust, and we start looking, and there's an awareness that something's going on. And then we make an assessment. We end up making a judgment upon many different things. We make judgments all the time. You get phone calls from spam, and you have to make a judgment real quick. You know, is it worth listening to what they have to say? It could be real. But then so much goes on like that. So the life is full. And life is absolutely so fast-paced anymore that judgments come quickly. We're going somewhere with this morning, because what it is, when we hear about Christ and when we know that we're lost and undone, when the Lord convicts us of our sins, then we have to perceive some things. We're going to talk about that this morning. So let's read Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, and then verse 18. Proverbs 31, as you know, is talking about a virtuous woman. A woman that her husband has died, she has children, and she's just been trusting God, living for God all through her life. And verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. We realize and know that God expects women and men too to be virtuous, to be godly. Then verse 18 says, she perceiveth. There is a Hebrew word again, same Hebrew word that was translated trust or taste. Oh, taste and see, same Hebrew word. Now it is translated perceive. She perceiveth. She makes a judgment. She got a lot of facts before. She assesses. She is aware. And she's seen and heard, and she makes that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. And if we would understand and realize that there's so much involved in these judgments we make, let's explore those thoughts. Oh, taste and see, for the Lord is good. Let's use the angels and the shepherd for an example, because it goes right through what happens when you and I hear about Jesus. And if you look and analyze what the angel said to the shepherds, proceed all the way through, listen intently at every word that was spoken, every action that was taken. It describes almost perfectly what happened when we first heard about Jesus. Now, for myself, I was There was never a time I didn't hear about Jesus. In my mother's womb, I heard about Jesus. But then I'm thinking about when I was reached the age of accountability at 12 years old. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said I was lost. So I had to do some perceiving. I had to do some thinking. I had to do some assessment. Let's see what the angels did. There's six different points I want to look at this morning. First of all, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Let's look at the position of those people that have never met the Christ child, never met Jesus. Now, I was introduced to Jesus. In my head, I'd heard about him. But see, the head is far from the heart. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. We have a head knowledge because we have heard, perhaps, and a lot of people haven't heard, but we heard about Jesus. But then when the Holy Ghost starts speaking. So let's look at the position they were in. They were out doing their normal activities at night time. No doubt they were tired. They were weary. We don't know how many wolves they had chased off that day or how many little lambs had went out and strayed, because all we like sheep have gone astray. And he compares us to sheep because sheep don't have a homing instinct within themselves. They have to have a shepherd. And those shepherds now, they were just doing their, and you and I were out in the world somewhere, you were there, when you realized the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart and showed you you were lost. We were out in the fields. We were out in the world. But the world's not our home if we're saved. We're pilgrims and strangers just passing through. So the position that the shepherds had at the time out in the field simulates the position we had in the world. You might have been sitting in the church pew a long time, but still, if you hadn't come to knowledge of Jesus Christ and seen him and recognized and invited him in your heart, then you were just like those shepherds. Second of all, we want to look at the petition or the plea that the angel made to tell them the good tidings of a Christ child. It's going to change their life. Not only was it going to change their life, it was going to change the lives of countless millions throughout the ages. Because we realize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Born, he was full man, and yet he was full God. Born by the, born from the Father who, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Yet Mary was a mother. Let's read a couple of verses, maybe four, about the petition at the plea. Of course, the Lord saw us. The Holy Ghost saw us. And when Jesus went back, remember, he said, I'll send the Comforter. I'll send someone to draw all men to me. And now the Holy Ghost is in this world drawing and compelling, pleading, sending a petition out to come meet the Christ child. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Perceive. Be aware of it. Make an assessment. Make a judgment what you're going to do about the Christ child. Bible says in verse 9, and the angel of the Lord came upon them while they were in their field, remember, doing their normal duty. And probably, most likely, they had all their sheep corralled, you know, because it's nighttime, sheep go astray, bad enough in the daytime, but now it's night. And no doubt they're somewhere in the cave. We've been in some of those shepherd's fields. We don't know which one they were in. There are caves there. They could have had their sheep in caves, I don't know, but there, whatever we know, the Lord knew where they were. And no matter where you were when you were lost and undone, the Lord knew your whereabouts. And now the plea and the petition. Listen what it says. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, just like you and I was. Remember when you first got down their conviction? I'm talking about myself. You may have similar experience. Been in church all my life. And in fact, I went through the motion as a 9-year-old boy because my mother talked me into it. Godly woman that she was, but she had talked me into getting saved. And I mean, I wasn't rebelling, but I didn't know the language. We were on our way, walking a mile and a half from our house or to the road, and then another half mile to church. It's 2 miles. And as we were going the whole distance of morning revival back in those days, she was telling me, you're old enough to get saved. And she was going through a plan of salvation. I knew in my head about that, but it hadn't, no conviction yet. And you can't get saved without conviction. So after the preacher preached, Mom was crying, and I was sitting beside her, of course, a 9-year-old boy. And she talked to me and said, I need to get saved. Well, I want to be obedient. I go to the altar, and I stay there, and I don't know what happened. I do, too. Nothing happened. Although I stayed there, it seemed like forever. But then when I got 12 years old, I got a plea and a petition from another country. And I didn't need anybody else around. I left my pew and I ran to the altar, and it was just me and the Lord. Oh, there's other people praying. That's good. The preachers were praying. Mom was praying. Dad was praying. That's good. But it was just me and the Lord. The plea, the petition. Listen what it is. The angel of the Lord came upon them. The Holy Ghost fell upon me and convicted me of my sins. And this is what the angel said to them, verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not. You see, I was afraid that conviction set in. And I knew what it meant, but I was 12 years old now. I was afraid. What does this mean? I knew I was lost at that point, but I was afraid. But the invitation and the plea goes farther. It'll get you through that fear factor. It'll replace the fear with peace. Just follow the plan. Look what he says. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. See, this was not just to the shepherds, but it was going to be to all the people in the whole world, from Adam all the way back until the last baby was born. What a mighty God we serve. No wonder they had fear at the announcement, because we come in the presence of a holy God, and he was still God. He was still man, even as a baby. And now they're talking to him, and the fear is disappearing. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is there. And when conviction comes to a lost person, and the presence of the Lord is there, and remember, the glory was all around, you kind of forget other people, you forget what's happening, and it's just you and the glory of the Lord, and you want more of it. Why? Because they are making a judgment. They're making a request that I want to do what you want me to do, but I don't fully understand. I'm perceiving. I'm trying to perceive. I'm wanting to taste, because I know the Lord's good, but I'm human, and I don't know how to go about it, but the instructions are quite simple. All we have to do is follow the instructions. People say it's such a hard thing to hear from God and know the Bible. It's the easiest thing in the world if you let the Lord do the directing. He said even the fool wouldn't depart therein. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And guess what? They were very near Jerusalem. They were in the Judean hillsides. And they're just right at, within touch. How many people sat in church pews, and just within touch, Jesus can be viewed and can be felt and will be ready and willing and desires to forgive all your sins? And they were that close. And the next verse says, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. Although Jerusalem, Bethlehem had a lot of people that day. Remember, people, visitors from all across the country, because it had been the decree that all the world should be taxed, and you had to go back to where he was first born. But there was only one baby that was born that night that was in a manger. The directions are so simple, you could not miss them unless you purposely tried to. So the plea and the petition has been given out to people that were in position to be saved and to know more about the Lord. But thirdly, what's going to encourage them? A lot of times it's praising God or understand the promises of God. And when we see others pleasing God, and at that point now the angels made their decree and announcement, and they're trying to make a judgment. No doubt they're perceiving. This is great news, but what do we do? And when you're lost and undone and you're sitting on the pew, or you're out in the field or driving a car and you're under a conviction, you're in the world, and the pleas made, the petitions made to your soul, but you need a little bit more encouragement. And you think back and somebody praising God. That's why it's so important to have a reverence in the house of God. You see, there may be lost people beside you or in front of you or behind you. And they may come for various reasons. We hope they come to get saved, but they may be here for various reasons. And the people that's sitting around that lost person, what if they were to say, I don't know why they keep it so cold in here. I don't know why they keep it so hot in here. I wish the song service wasn't so long. No. You see, what we need to do is be praising God. Because now these shepherds, they need a little bit more encouragement. Well, God knows what we need. Let's see the encouragement God sent them. Verse 13 and 14. And suddenly, the word suddenly, immediately, as they were pondering, as they were making judgment, as they were perceiving, making an assessment, trying to understand everything that's going on. The Bible says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What do you think that did to them? The perception got a little bit easier, didn't it? Now they're thinking about a Christ child. We know an angel came from heaven and told us that's good news. But we know we have to leave the flock. We know life is going to be different if we see the Savior. And that's what a sinner is going through their mind. Say, well, you know, I've got this lifestyle, and my lifestyle in the past has not been pleasing to God. And I'm perceiving what's going to happen when he changes me. Will I be missing that old lifestyle? And then all the people around, if they're singing, the Spirit of God is moving, and things are happening, and they're looking at your life, as sinners are, and not only while you're in church, but they remember last time you talked to them and how hateful you might have been, all these things. But see, these angels, these shepherds now need one thing. They need to be convinced without any doubt that we're going to change our lifestyle and leave what we've got and go and see what the Lord has for us. It's so important that you and I are about our Father's business. Because now the angels had done their part. They were coming down saying glory to God. And I realized they came down to let all the world hear. We don't hear it, but we read about that Judean hillside experience with all the host of angels, praise of God. But was not only, remember, the angel said he was born to you and to all the people. So they came down for more than one reason. They came down to help convince, to help these shepherds be understanding that it is worth going for. It is worth. Number four. We're going to see this perception now take place because we've already seen that there is an awareness. The angel came and the good tidings was there, and we could get to Bethlehem because we're pretty close there. We know where it's at. And they probably knew all the places, might have been two or three places where there were animals, stalls. In this case, history tells us it was a cave. They probably knew the landscape pretty good. They wouldn't have any trouble finding. So they were making an assessment. They were doing all these things. And now the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, 15, that this assessment that they were making, this understanding, they let all these things, boy, what really capped the stack, I think, is when we were trying to decide what to do. And here comes the host of heaven saying, glory to God. I don't think there's any doubt anymore of what we're going to do. Let's see what they did do because of that. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste. The word means to earnestly desire. Not just making haste with their feet, getting as fast as they could, but in their heart, they're desirous. They cannot wait. The anticipation. And we understand that Jesus wants us to have that reaction. He wants lost people to have the reaction of conviction. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, just like it was told. Nothing complicated about the understanding they had. There's nothing to complicate matters if you have a desire, an urgent desire to get to Jesus. He'll be there waiting for you. Let's read one other place in the Word of God where that same word, haste, so it will help us a little bit understand what the shepherds were doing. They with haste, hurriedly with haste, a desire and a fast moving too. But now the word is used, the same word in Luke chapter 19, verse 5. Remember Zacchaeus? Jesus was passing through Jericho. There was one that heard about Jesus coming through, Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was a little statue. Now, he had already been making some judgments. He had already been making some plans. And he had already let this word perception take root, because he climbed up in the sycamore tree. And the songwriter says, for the Lord to see. Now he's already understood that Jesus is coming by. Let's see what happens in Luke chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place where he had looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Not only put your legs in action, but something else happened too. His heart got involved. See, it's one thing, some people can move faster than others. I remember the night Darren got saved. I've told it before. He's told it hundreds of times. Balfour Baptist Church, Dr. Percy Ray was preaching. Now, they always said, Lord, please let me be there when Darren and Michael, our two sons, get saved. I've seen parents talk them into it because my mother talked me into it. 9 years old, and it didn't work. It never will. It's got to be with him. It's got to be his plan, his perception. It's got to be his timing. And so I said, Lord, when my boys, time comes to get saved, the night or the day it is, please let me know. I'll never try to persuade them. I'll have them in church. I'll teach them the gospel. But salvation is up to you. I can't do it. I can't help. But I sure could hurt. And I want to stay out of it. It's just me and you. Well, that night after Dr. Percy Ray preached, he'd been preaching all week long. We've been there all week long. But this is the last night, and he gives an invitation. And as soon as he gives the invitation, God gets my heart and says, it's Darren's time. Sitting on the third pew back in the center of the church, I reached over and said, Darren, you want to go down? He gripped the pew, hands turned red, he shook his head, no. And the Holy Ghost says, leave him alone, don't say anymore. A couple of verses later, Darren jumps over me and over his mother and two other people and heads down to the altar with haste. But he didn't make it. He fell about 12 foot short. But his heart was engaged. I'm telling you that when we hear about the Lord, and when we accept the invitation, and when praising God, see what's happening now, and that what brought him under conviction was preaching of the Word of God from the man of God, and salvation, and the power of the Holy Ghost was so present. and it's time to get saved. Same thing happened to Michael when he got saved. Now I'm telling you that the Lord's in control of salvation. His timing is perfect. Now the angels gone away. The shepherds have went to see. Then that verse says in Luke chapter 19, verse 6, after Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down with haste, because I'm going to your house today. Abide at your house. Not just go for a visit. When I go and come in, I'm going to abide. Plan of salvation, don't you see? When he comes in, you abide with him, he abides with you. Let's see what happens in the next verse. And he made haste. Not just hurriedly jumping out of the tree, but it means a earnest, expectant desire of the heart. Could not wait to be closer to Jesus. And came down, and here's the best part, received him joyfully. See, it's not just a shepherd going to see the Christ child. And that realized it's just a baby who hadn't been to the cross yet. But see, everybody on the other side of the cross gets saved the same way almost you and I do. There's only one door to heaven, that's through by Jesus Christ. And Adam and Eve, remember when they sinned and hid from God because of their sins, and God slew some animals and reached out and said, here is a covering, the skins of a covering for your nakedness. It was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross, thousands of years later, that was going to be when you receive it. And Adam and Eve quickly received it and covered their nakedness and accepted God's plan, his petition, and his plea. There's no other way. Hurriedly, not only a perception of what they had seen and heard, but now something else happens. After you get saved and you make that perception and you an assessment, yeah, the angel did come from heaven. Yes, the glory of the Lord sure was on these Judean hills. Yes, we sure do need something because we aren't doing so good. We're empty. We're void. Man is created, body, soul, spirit. And God told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The Bible says his spirit was instantly broken. He had to hide. He couldn't communicate with God. And he would have never died, but he said he's going to have to face death now. And that's what happens. When the Lord Jesus Christ quickens us and we receive him, that spirit of that's been broken, that's within man, but it's dead, it's dormant. Dead people can't move. Dead people can't hear. It has to be quickened by the Holy Ghost of God. Now once they've seen Jesus, and once Zacchaeus saw Jesus and with his heart made haste, he ran and he received him joyfully. But now let's look back at the shepherds. After they had seen, they were changed. They'd made an assessment of it. They'd analyzed it. They were aware of the situation. And the perception that they had made was probably a lot different. And it was. Look carefully. Now they got to proclaim the word. Luke 2:17. They'd seen the Christ child. Their life was changed. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They didn't go right back to their fields to keep watch over their flock by night. They went abroad because they've already been told, he's going to be born to you this day. And to all people everywhere. And since you're the first to know about it, besides Mary and Joseph, then it's your job to go and start telling the world. Hey, when you got saved, it was wonderful. He came in to abide with you as he did Zacharias or Zacchaeus. He came to dwell with you. He changed you. The glory of the Lord shone around about, and you're just full of peace and joy. No fear. No more fear. All replaced with peace of the Lord. Now there's a job to do. Verse 20 says, shepherds return. How did they return? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The angel and the angels would not be back to planet Earth to help convict the next sinner. And now God's got some people that's supposed to do that. And in my lifetime and yours, I've never heard that an angel left heaven. I don't know what God does, but my experience is he didn't send an angel to me. He sent the Holy Ghost. But then when I received the Holy Ghost, my job was to do this. I heard, I saw, just like he told me, fear, anxiety, all those things were replaced by salvation and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I've seen, I've heard. And then my job is to glorify and praise God, because others need to hear that from me rather than bickering and complaining and whining and groaning. I'll never get anybody to Jesus. It'll turn a lot of people away. But we got to be careful. See, the shepherds now, they have to live up to what is expected of them. They have to be about their whole life. Doesn't stop. You see, that's a chore. No, it's the easiest thing in the world. They just be willing to praise God and give him honor and glory for all he's done. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste of salvation. Taste any avenue in your life. Any decision you've got to make. You got to go to college. Let him help you perceive, analyze, make an assessment, make a judgment, the good and the bad. Whatever you're going to do in life, let him be the one that's in charge. Oh, taste and see. The Lord doesn't just send salvation and leave us stranded. He comes in to give you direction, to give you assurance, to give you all you need in a troubled world. You think it caught God by surprise that we're in the pandemic and people are afraid of their shadows and all these things are happening? Didn't catch God by surprise at all. He just testing us to see, or are we going to make a stand? Or are we going to give him honor and glory? Because we've made an assessment. Since he abode with me and me with him, I don't want fear back in my life. It's not coming, because peace of God dwells within me. Miss Brenda, would you please come to piano and Brother Ray's at organ, play anything God puts on your heart. Invitation. Oh, taste and see. Would you stand? That the Lord is good. If you're not saved, means perceive, analyze. Think about how he's helped others. Think about going to heaven. If you don't go to heaven, you're going to go to hell. Perceive. Oh, taste and see. That the Lord is good. And whatever you're going through this morning as your head's bowed, you may have troubles on every hand, people in the hospital, people hurting, people sin-sick in your family. Just a grave situation out there. But within your heart, the song we heard this morning sung, we got peace. God has given us the ability to abide in him and he in us. For the blessed assurance, he is mine. Lord Jesus, we humbly bow, confessing our faults, looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, thanking you for salvation, thanking you that you had it all planned out. The Holy Ghost came and arrested us while we were pilgrims and strangers out there. Now we're still in the world, but we're surely not of it, because we have you. Thank you, Father. But there's others that do not have you, and it's our joy and our privilege to go out and introduce them to Christ Jesus, our Lord. While we're praising and glorifying your holy name as we do it, take away all the strife and all the hurts, because there's salvation through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you. I want to praise you. honor you. Thanksgiving. I'm not saying any of us ever do, but please don't let anyone hear you complain or say anything against the church. Maybe a lot wrong with it, a lot wrong with me, but we're talking about lost souls. They want to hear this praise, honor, and glory. And we can't sing like those heavenly hosts of angels did, but we can make a melody and joy in their hearts. We've heard this morning by the song service. Because sinners and the weary are watching, waiting. They're not going to get any honor and glory and praise from the world. And God left the shepherds there to start spreading it. Once he saved you, he left you in this world to spread it. The joy, the peace. Never, please don't let the world hear you complain about anything. But there's a lot to complain about, it sure is. Don't help much, but it sure does hurt. Hurts the Lord's work in this world. We love you, we praise you, we bless you. Don't forget the Edwards family at 6 o'clock tonight. Brother Gunn Davis is going to come and